Welcome to the August 2020 Parkinson's Recovery Support Group gathering. As I'm sure you are all well aware, the intent, the purpose, the goal of our gatherings together every single month is to provide positive encouragement and some suggestions here and there of the types of actions people are taking to find reversal of their symptoms, and in some cases, a full reversal of everything that happens to be symptomatic for them personally. It's been a rocky road here in 2020. We have the challenge of the virus, which is creating all kinds of stresses and, of course, is exacerbating some of the symptoms that you currently experience. So I'm going to make a couple of comments about what's been up at Parkinson's Recovery. I have a question that has been submitted that I want to read, which raises all sorts of quite fascinating issues. If you'd like to be able to have a topic to discuss at our gathering today, you can always type in that idea, that suggestion, that topic, or even a question to ask in the chat room box, which is available here during our support group gathering today. So what's up at Parkinson's Recovery? Well, after I have to confess about 2.5 years of discussions with Martha Carlin, who is the CEO of a company that has just been introducing this last month a new probiotic specifically formulated for persons diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. So my interview with Martha finally succeeded this month. I encourage you to listen to that discussion. I was really impressed by Martha's approach from a scientific point of view. She has been able to recruit a number of researchers who have provided input and support to the development of this new probiotic, specifically, again, formulated for persons diagnosed with Parkinson's. Now, many of you I know do not know Martha. She's married to a person who has been a guest on my radio show several times, John Carlin. John is a person who spearheaded the hike up a very, very high mountain, Mount Kilimanjaro. And there's a whole long story that he told on one of my interviews with him. So John has Parkinson's symptoms and has found that the probiotic has really helped him personally. It's a new product, and obviously we don't have very much evidence at all on the success that you might have in being able to try it out as a probiotic. But I would encourage you to at least listen to my interview with her. I was truly impressed with the research that went behind formulating this new probiotic. So it's, of course, on the member radio show page, readily available to look at, and we've got a little extra information about links to Martha's website. You can also obviously contact her. She's got her phone number and her email. She's a wonderful resource to connect with. And I must say, although we don't have evidence really on the extent to which it might provide persons with significant support or not, based on what she presented, boy, I would sure be very serious about considering this as a possibility. There's another little detail in the presentation I want to make sure everybody catches. And I guess the initial formulation, which has been out about 4 or 5 weeks, is one that only had 30 capsules. And I believe she mentioned the cost was something like $39 or $40. But I guess she's discovered that people are getting better results of the small handful of people who tried this who have Parkinson's by taking 2 of these capsules a day, one in the morning, one in the evening. So she's changed the product, or at least she announced that she had intended to change it to be 60 capsules. So you're going to get double the product for the money that you would actually pay to try this out. So as I would really always ask for each and every one of you, if you decide you want to give this a spin, let me know how it goes. Give me some feedback so I can pass your experience on to others. A second report that I've got for you is that we have been pursuing research and investigations on the issues that are posed by 5G. Now, that's the term that is used for the upgrade in the technology that is used for us to be able to use our cell phones and to communicate here at the internet ethers. So 5G is a significant boost, and there is a significant body of evidence that suggests that it's going to create some pretty serious health problems, which are pretty scary. So what I've focused on is certainly has nothing to do with trying to say, okay, everybody, we shouldn't have this because I think it's inevitable, but rather, what kind of steps can we take to protect ourselves from 5G? We've made some pretty significant strides in that regard, and I'll be issuing you some reports and some information that I think you'll find will be really helpful. So if you find when you're in front of a computer for quite a while, if you're feeling out of sorts, not yourself, fatigued, and even ill, it may be because of the 5G exposure. And of course, I think this has devastating impacts on a person who has neurological challenges. So you may be thinking, well, it couldn't be any big deal. But I just want to say by way of introduction, it is a big deal. It does create significant problems from a health perspective, and particularly with reference to neurological challenges. So we're going to provide some significant body of information that hopefully will provide you with some choices you can make about how you can protect yourself against exposure to the 5G. So, of course, I'm talking on a cell phone now, but I am using some headphones. That is, it's not really directly against my ear, which is a little bit of a help. But still, I do have a significant exposure here as I am presenting the information for our gathering today. Now, another follow-up that I want to offer is in terms of therapies. The light therapy continues to have excellent results. Now, it's not for everyone, but about 9 out of 10 people, particularly people who are having issues with memory, with executive function, having difficulty with managing their thought processes, dementia sorts of challenges. It's really, I think, a therapy that's the therapy of the future. So if you find yourself not as sharp as you were a month ago or 2 months ago and you would like to be able to beef that up, so to speak, I would suggest that the light therapy is an excellent kind of an option that I would strongly consider you entertain. I have interviews posted on the member radio show page that are interviews with a man who is the developer of an excellent light therapy. So be sure to listen to that if, in fact, you're having some challenges with memory or dementia sorts of issues. So now, and again, for those of you who are connecting into our program today, if you'd like to have certain discussions of topics, and there are many topics we could certainly cover because there are now so many possible therapies and options that are available for people to pursue and consider that are helping them get relief from their symptoms. The topics that you're interested in are the ones that we can put on the agenda, or the questions that you want to have answered are the ones that we can be sure and address, not only myself, but any of the rest of you who are connecting into our gathering today. Now, I got an input that I received after putting out a call. Okay, everybody, any questions, any issues that you'd like for us to discuss? I'd like to read this input and make some comments because I think it is a story that will probably be one that will be familiar to a number of you. I don't, of course, ever mention the names of people who write into these particular emails or requests for me to discuss any kind of an issue that may be up for you. So here goes. I'm writing today because I'm going through a pretty huge crisis. And I thought maybe after all your years of experience and relationships with people who experience Parkinson's symptoms, you might have some insight or resources that could be helpful. It's probably easier to talk about it, but that they knew that it was very early here on the West Coast, and I suppose they must have been somewhere on the East Coast or in Europe. I thought I'd spare you the alarm bell of a phone call, and I appreciate that. So in a nutshell, I have been struggling with levodopa for a while, side effects that took me a really long time to recognize as side effects, and self-adjusting dosing myself, trying to mitigate them. I feel remiss now that I've been so adamant about working outside of the system that I find myself now 5 years in without a solid relationship with the neurologist to turn to a crisis at this particular time. Anyway, the situation got extreme, and I ended up at the last neurologist I saw, and the note here is not a movement disorder specialist. I'm waiting for my scheduled appointment in a month. They won't see me on an urgent basis as I'm not an established patient. Now, this neurologist feels I was over-medicated and has advised me to wean off the sentiment. Now, let me say that again. This is a neurologist that's suggesting that there's over-medication that turns out to be one of the serious problems that this person is experiencing. Most people think that the only thing neurologists do is want to prescribe more medicine, but this is a person who recognizes that the medicine may, at this point, given the dosage that's administered, do more harm than good. He has gone so far as to say he doesn't think this is Parkinson's and referred me to a psychiatrist to address the intense state of anxiety and panic I am living in. So please realize that when you go to a medical professional and that medical professional looks at you and they say you have, and they might say Parkinson's disease or some other kind of label for a neurological condition, that particular judgment is just that. It is the opinion of one person. Yes, they're very well trained. They're a neurologist. They have a lot of background in medicines and surgeries, but it's their opinion. So here, this individual is going to get an opinion from a second neurologist, also has a similar training. And as you see, the reaction is very different. What they're saying is not just that there's over-medication, but rather that they probably don't even have Parkinson's to begin with. Now, and as a side note, I must say, for those of you that are not aware of the research I've done, I think based on such a crude estimate, about 75 or 80% of individuals who had this diagnosis have something else. It's actually not Parkinson's disease. So I've always recommended that if a neurologist says that that's what you have, well, that may be right. But why label yourself with that? If you'd like to try the medicines, well, go for it. They may really make a big difference. But whatever you want to do, don't label yourself as a person who has any particular condition, in this case, Parkinson's, because if you do, you're going to trap yourself into the sinkhole of the belief that you're going to get worse and worse, and that's the last thing that you want to do. Now, she then continues, as you might well guess, I am reeling. And so for those of you listening to me as I'm reading this, you can feel the intense concern and anxiety that's being expressed. I have wanted to come off levodopa for a long time and see what lies beneath. But I'm finding this process excruciating and terrifying. Am I an addict going through withdrawal, or am I a Parkinson's patient starving my body of dopamine? Now, that's a rather interesting set of questions. So when people do begin to reduce their medications, I'm sure many of you are aware of stories where people can get pretty sick and even go to the emergency room because of the side effects that are created. So is there then a sense of a withdrawal from an addiction? And I think that is one of the ways to describe the process of attempting to wean off of the Parkinson's medications. So it all has to do with infusing the body with a burst of dopamine by giving the body L-DOPA. Well, if you'll just look at the big picture, when people want to chill out, when they want to have a good time, when they want to feel pretty silly inside, they take all sorts of either drugs or street kind of things or alcohol kind of a drinks. And all of those, if you look at what they really do, well, they all, in their own way, boost the body with a surge of dopamine. They all do the same thing. And of course, that turns out to be what some of the Parkinson's medications do as well. So yes, that's right. There is a sense of an addiction, and there is a sense of the problem of being able to wean yourself off of it. Setting side effects aside, there is some relief when I take a dose of cinnamon. So that's really good to hear. At least you're getting some relief from the medicines. And an array of PD symptoms when I don't. One thing that's clear is that taking more doesn't help. So that's good information for you to have. So far, the neurologist hasn't been able to provide what I feel is satisfying support. Now, when you say you want satisfying support from your neurologist, I think you need to step back and just realize what their training is. Their training is to prescribe medicines and also recommend surgeries. So they're not counselors. They're not people who want to take, you know, an hour with you and talk about all kinds of other options that can help you get well. They really want to just find out what would be the best medicine to prescribe for you and realize, in their defense, I must say, that they really are only allowed to have appointments that last at most 15 minutes, sometimes only 10 minutes. So there's not much that they can do to provide you with support. Now, there are other medical professionals that will accomplish just that. And oftentimes, naturopath doctors in the initial appointment will spend 2 hours with people, their patients, even 2.5 hours, to really understand who you are and what might be the factors that are contributing to your health. But that's not true for neurologists. Their training is different, and the expectations of their employers are very different. So if you'd like to be able to find support, I really don't think you would ever be able to expect that from a neurologist, again, who is limited to spend only 10 or 15 minutes with each patient. And, of course, half of that has to do with providing notes in their records. So you might be lucky to get 8 minutes. So she continues now, he keeps pushing the psychiatric angle. The referral is in the mail, tells me to continue on with his plan to slowly lower the dose and prescribe something to help with the panic attacks, which I have taken sparingly out of desperation. And of course, you don't say one way or another, but is that helping or not? I suppose his logic, that is the neurologist, is that as the glut of levodopa washes out, I should start to feel better, ? Well, ask him. Maybe that is the expectation. Now, the one comment I want to make is he's suggesting wean very slowly off. That's really an excellent suggestion. Some neurologists have recommended to their patients, oh, just cut it in half, you know, and I want to say, wait, no. If you want to wean off of any medication, whether it's for Parkinson's or not, and in particular something like Sinemet, you need to do it very, very, very slowly and very gradually. And in some cases, to successfully wean off the medication entirely and completely, it can very easily take 6 months or even a year, if that gives you some framework for what you're really looking at. So a lot of people think, well, I'll give it a couple of weeks, but actually, in order to be able to do it so you don't create some serious side effects of the withdrawal that's created, just plan on taking a lot of time. And the other problem I think a lot of people have is that they may cut it down too quickly. So, for example, maybe they're at a 60% full dose, and then they drop it down to a 40%, and that jump is too much. And they feel like it's going to be a setback if they then jump it up to, let's say, back to 60%. Or 50%. In other words, they're never going to accomplish it because they're going backwards. Well, sometimes you do have to up the dose a little bit if you've reduced it too quickly. So it's a little dance that you have with your body to see how slowly you need to go in order to be able to wean yourself off of these medications. So she continues, I feel completely trapped between the fear of not moving and the fear of moving and unpleasant and frightening physical symptoms that accompany both states. Feels like hell sometimes. I consider going to the hospital almost every day, so you can feel the impact that this is having, though I don't know what they would do, give me a tranquilizer. Well, yes, that's, again, the medical professions, what they have to offer are lots of medications, and if that's something that you want to pursue, well, that's the place you need to go. I made an agreement with myself that I wouldn't Google. I have to say, I think that's a good idea, because if you begin to do some searches, it's going to be even more distressing to see the kind of scary stuff that you can see out there that probably doesn't apply to you whatsoever. So the letter continues. I suppose my question for you is, have you heard feedback from people going off Sinemet, and is this a common experience? Well, let me just remind you and everyone, I have been connecting with people now for 20 years. And so, as you can imagine, we have over 1,000 kind of contacts with people who, yes, have not all of them, but some of them have certainly decided to wean off of sentiment. And yes, stories are all over the place. In some cases, people will say, well, I decided I was going to get off my medicine. And so I cut it in half. And I wound up in the emergency room. Well, that's not surprising to me, because that's just really way, way too quickly. So there are lots of stories. Many stories are people who have succeeded when they set the intention to get off the medicines, and they set the intention to do that gradually, always listening to their body and knowing how much is going to be required to do it little by little, that they have succeeded. So we've got some wonderful stories, and they're all, not all of them, but some of the interviews I've done are with people who've accomplished just that. So it's a very common experience, and yes, it's a rocky road, and yes, as you begin to wean off, you may all of a sudden be feeling for a week yourself and better and full strength, and symptoms are not problematic, and then all of a sudden it comes back in, and you feel like, oh no, this is not going to work. So our thoughts can sometimes get in the way of a successful recovery. She continues, is there a way to do it in a more gentle manner? Well, the gentle manner is slowly and mindfully, and not have an expectation that it's going to happen quickly. So one of the issues with anxiety and anxiety attacks is that there is this high need to make things happen quickly. In other words, go, go, go. Let's get anxious. Is this going to work or not? Am I going to be able to get off medications or not? Well, so what happens is with that question, the urge is to say, well, let's get the answer right now. Let's make it happen right now. So let's just cut it down quickly and get off it. I'm tired of messing with this. The neurologist said that it was something that was creating problems, so I just need to stop it right now. Do you see, can you feel into what I just said, the anxiety that is conveyed by those kind of thought forms? So you're right, gentle is the word, and slow is the way to go about it, and to listen to your body. If your body begins to reel, if your body begins to exhibit some symptoms that are unwelcome, then it probably means you're going too quickly. I also wonder if I've just worn out my welcome with levodopa, as they say happens, and I need to try something else. And it's not that I don't have PD. So when you say try something else, that's a rather interesting question. So if you're thinking of, is there any kind of a medicine or prescribed medicine? Well, you'll have to talk with your doctor about that possibility. They certainly have an array of options that they can present to their individuals. And of course, there are dozens of natural therapies that are also options as well. And then you are saying, well, is it that I don't have Parkinson's disease? And I've just suggested, well, we don't know the answer to that. And I certainly don't diagnose anything in the work that I do here at Parkinson's Recovery. But I'm suggesting that the research I have done has very clearly indicated that there are typically multiple influences that cause Parkinson's symptoms. And for example, the issue of toxins is huge in terms of creating the problem of the symptoms. And so it doesn't mean you have technically Parkinson's disease. There's not an atrophy of the neurons in your midbrain that create dopamine. That's not the issue. The issue is the toxins. And so the problem is you're just toxic and you need to get rid of the toxins. So in other words, there are a lot of factors that cause the symptoms of Parkinson's. She continues, I'm trying so hard to trust in the mystery that this is unfolding as it is meant for a higher purpose. Well, that's a lovely statement. I just feel a lack of an experienced guide. Any resources you might have to share besides Google would be a welcome gift right now. So in the end, I just want to say that the presentation that you offer here at obviously a very early part of the morning is one that focuses on medications. And so one of the kinds of thoughts that I've got for you is, all right, great, that's something that apparently in the past has provided relief, and it sounds like it's been a good choice in the past, but it sounds like also maybe not such a great choice today and something else has to happen. So what you might want to begin to think about is, okay, how about creating an approach that is multifaceted? So instead of thinking about just going to, for example, a medical doctor who is the specialist in prescription medications, is realize, well, there are other ways to approach diagnosing what's happening from just the medical professionals that have medical degrees. For example, there are naturopaths, there are psychologists, there are mental health counselors, there are body workers, there are energy workers. There are all sorts of professionals, whether it's chiropractors or acupuncturists. There are all sorts of people out there that practice in very different ways. So one of the ways to think about, well, okay, how can you really solve this problem is to realize, well, you've been down the medical path pretty seriously, and it sounds like it has been somewhat helpful, but now it's not. And so it's time to switch gears and to consider other kind of options. Sounds like you've got a great neurologist, so I certainly would recommend that you stick with that person. They're there to provide what support they can for your medicines. But again, they're not there to provide support and identifying options that would allow you to be able to really get the relief that you need. So I think in the end, what you're really calling out for you is, well, what's really going on here? And what I would really like to say after reading your email several times and meditating on really what's conveyed here, I think I want to piggyback on what your neurologist is concluding would be their recommendation. So what they're saying is you clearly are having quite a bit of anxiety and even anxiety attacks. Well, if there's anything that's going to create problems neurologically, it's going to be anxiety. And what's the reason for anxiety and anxiety attacks? It's trauma. So the focus I would like to suggest that you begin to place on what's the next step is, of course, as you begin to try to very slowly reduce medications, is to say, okay, let's get to work on the anxieties that I am experiencing. And you were having anxiety, I think, when you wrote this email to me very early in the morning. You couldn't sleep, and by Jove, you just started to write that, and you called out to me to be able to respond. Trauma is huge for people, and I must say to everyone here who is listening that I think most people have no clue as to what a huge influence this has on our health and wellness. It's huge. And so when we talk about trauma, just to be clear for everybody, we're talking about physical trauma. We're talking about accidents, and a lot of people have a lot of accidents over the course of their lifetime. We're talking about birth experiences. We're talking about experiences in embryo. We're talking about mental abuse, that is, people who belittle us, talk down to us. We're talking about emotional abuse, of course, as well, and people are obviously very familiar with the implications of emotional abuse. So there are all kinds of traumas that we experience in our lifetime, and they can have a compelling cumulative impact on finally creating some very serious health problems. So I believe that the psychologist's recommendation seems to me to make some sense. Now, the recommendation to have a referral to a psychiatrist is, remember, a referral to see what the psychiatrist might want to recommend as a prescription medicine. So they're not a counselor. Psychiatrists are people who prescribe medicines. Now, you may step back and say to yourself, well, wait a minute, you know, medicines I think are causing me problems. No, I don't want to have any more medicines. Well, it is the case that sometimes, at least in the short run, these anti-anxiety medications really can help you get your life back. So I think it's something that would be worth considering. So you don't want to take the prescription medications from a psychologist for the rest of your life, but it may be right now, since it feels like this is a crisis time in your life, that you might want to at least go have an appointment with them, see what they say, see how you connect with them, see if you feel like you can trust what their recommendation is, and maybe go ahead and give it a try. Now, the downside of a lot of these anxiety medications is they don't work quickly. You have to stick with them for at least, well, weeks, if not months, before you really realize, oh, finally, I'm feeling better about the fact that I'm here on the earth and not so jittery and upset. So it takes time for them to actually take effect. But in the end, you can complement that, if you decide to go that route, with other ways of being able to address the traumas that you've experienced. So I document that all over the place in the many different blogs and articles and books and radio show interviews and courses that I've taught. But the one course that has a series of suggestions on techniques you can use to address the trauma that is embedded at the cellular level is called A Jump Start to Recovery. And I put that on a platform called Udemy. And it's a great resource because if you simply connect into Udemy, they'll oftentimes offer that course for a very, very small amount of money. I think usually I'll see it offered quite frequently for, $20 or $15 or $10 or whatever. And it's got, I think we have about 24 hours of video presentations. And there's a whole section in Jumpstart to Recovery of suggestions on therapies that will enable you to release the traumas that is embedded. So what's the reason for the anxiety? The reason for the anxiety is traumas that you've experienced in your life. So how do you get relief from your anxiety? Well, the only way really is to be able to just, first of all, acknowledge you've had traumas, and then second of all, to set the intention to release the traumas that have been captured and embedded at the cellular level in your physical body. You have to release it. You have to let it go instead of holding on to it tightly. So it sounds like some of what you describe happens to be probably movement disorders. Well, there it is. I mean, when we're traumatized, we tend to tighten every muscle, every tissue in our body. We restrict ourselves, and that accumulates over time so that our body's really not agile. It's not able to move like it should. So I believe the one little extra guidance that I would like to suggest you at least consider and investigate would be, in addition to at least talking with a psychiatrist to see if that calls out to you, is to realize that there's just all these other wonderful, marvelous therapies, body therapies, talk therapies, hypnotism, you name it. There are all sorts of things that can allow you to be able to release traumas that are embedded. It's not a quick fix. There's not one therapy that's going to work miracles instantly. It takes a combination of approaches. And I think it takes the intention to say, okay, I can really feel how anxious I am. Let's approach this from, again, the word that I used earlier was multifaceted approach. In other words, instead of just thinking, well, okay, I'll go to the psychiatrist and the psychiatrist will give me some medicines. I'll wait to see if that's going to take care of the problem. Well, it certainly may help, and we certainly hope it would if you decide to do that. But you need to combine that with other approaches that are very different in terms of how you implement them. Now, some of these therapies you can do yourself. You can learn how to do them yourself, and you can accomplish them yourself. You probably have done some of them yourself in the past. All you have to do is to reactivate those and get them working again. I think it also helps to be able to actually connect in with some practitioners, some real people that you can connect with. I know this is a time when a lot of practitioners are not seeing their patients face-to-face, but they may be able to provide some long-distance support and assistance to you as well. So by way of summary, you've got, I think, an excellent neurologist, it sounds like, who's made a rather fascinating recommendation. I want to underscore that. Again, I've said this already, but a lot of people think the only thing neurologists do is prescribe medicines. Well, here's somebody who's saying, no, I think that's not the right decision for you. So they've had a chance to connect with you, and that's their recommendation. I think that needs to be taken seriously. And then I would just extend his recommendation, which, of course, is take medicines, and to say, look, there are lots of different ways that are very powerful, very effective, that you can get your anxiety under control. And once you get that anxiety under control, boy, you'll find the symptoms are going to be far, far, far less problematic, if problematic at all. So at the foundation of really many of the people who experience these neurological problems, the foundation really, as it turns out, really is trauma, unfortunately speaking. So that's my comments and my reading of this quite fascinating email and my sort of general suggestions of sort of a direction that you might want to find yourself leading. I just looked in the chat room and I didn't see anybody here who's connecting into our gathering together, who's written any suggestions of what you'd like to be able to discuss in terms of topics or questions you've got or any follow-ups to anything that I might have already said. We certainly have a lot of topics that we could discuss if you'd like to be able to connect in and do just that. So in terms of callers, of course, I always like to open up and find out who's here and who's called in. We have one caller in, only one here in our August support group gathering. I believe that's Bill. Hello, Bill. Are you there?
Hey, Robert. How are you?
Hi, well, I'm doing all right. Thank you for asking. So how are you?
I'm fine. I have something that I've tried lately that's been useful that I thought I'd mention. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it's usually called a Qi machine, C-H-I machine. Are you familiar with that at all?
Yes. Which one do you have?
I forget the brand, but this is something that started in Japan, and there, if you look on Amazon, there are about 8 or 10 different brands, all more or less in the same price range. And I originally got this for an unrelated to Parkinson's reason, which is it's supposedly good for stimulating your lymph system. And I have some lymph issues that I don't think are connected to my Parkinson's. But I think it's been helpful because the other thing that it's purported to do is energize your chakras, your whole body system. And I found it has been helpful in that regard. It's very simple. I mean, you basically just lie down and put your feet up in this on top of this little machine, which just moves them back and forth in a sort of systematic way. And it takes no effort, really, and only need to do it for about 5 minutes. And it's sort of energizing and certainly not doing any harm. So I just thought I'd mention it.
Oh, what a wonderful suggestion, Bill. And I'm curious, so what led you to pursue that as an option? What motivated you to get serious about trying that out?
Well, like I said, I've had issues with swollen ankles and the lower leg, and I've had doctors look at it. You get a little doctor sort of non-help. And so I did some research and found that actually my daughter is the one who found this. These machines are used extensively in Japan, so there's quite a lot of reporting and papers and anecdotal evidence about their efficacy in Japan. I don't know if they're used widely here or not, but so my original thought in trying it was to see if I could help with the lymph issues that I've experienced. But I think it also might be helpful if somebody absent any lymph issues, just in terms of something that some non-drug, non-nutritional supplement, non-heavy-duty exercise routine that you could apply and have it be helpful to Parkinson's symptoms.
Oh, it sounds like a wonderful suggestion to me. When energy healers perform energy healing for their clients, people who do Reiki or people who do energy healing, they are opening up the chakras in the body, which means that the flow of energy then is actually moving through the body as it was supposed to be flowing through. And these machines really are accomplishing the same thing in a way. They're opening up the chakras. So if a person has a blocked chakra, then the energy is not running through that part of the body. So for a lot of people, for example, who have Parkinson's symptoms, they also have digestive issues. So it's the brain and the gut that winds up being the problem. And the Qi machine can open up that third chakra, which is the chakra that feeds the digestive system, and that can really make a big difference for a person to be able to actually ultimately experience relief from their symptoms. So these Qi machines are really great inventions, and boy, I think it's a great idea. I wish we could get more and more people to begin using them to see if we can begin to document how the actual neurological symptoms might be relieved. It sounds like you've been able to have some relief from the lymph challenges that you've had. Is that right?
Yes, it has definitely helped.
And it sounds like it's easy to do. You know, it doesn't take a long deal, doesn't hurt, doesn't do any harm.
Right.
I mean, you know, so why not? It kind of comes down to that is the issue.
Yeah,
well, I guess the other question.
Go ahead. They're not particularly expensive. They run $100 to maybe $150. I got it basically, I think, pretty much the cheapest one they had, which works fine.
Oh, good. I was just going to ask you that same question. I thought listeners would like to know how much we're really talking about. So it's very affordable,
yeah,
obviously.
Just look on Amazon, CHI machine, and you know, obviously prices and specs and all that are on there. And it's, my wife has used it, and she likes it. She doesn't have Parkinson's. She just enjoys the experience. So it's a, like I said, it's, you definitely have a kind of energized feeling, even after just 5 minutes. I mean, you're not on it for hours, and they tell you don't ever do it for more than 15 minutes. Start 5 minutes and work gradually up to maybe 15 if you want to.
Oh, how cool. Oh.
So there's not a big investment in time.
And not a big investment in money. And, of course, in terms of infusing some extra energy, a lot of folks with these symptoms have issues with fatigue. And what happens is that the chakras are, they sort of like these little tornado inputs into the front and back parts of the body. So, for example, the third chakra is right between the rib cage in the front. And there's also a chakra in the back that it's its companion. So the problem with people who get very tired easily is that their chakras are actually running in reverse. In other words, they are throwing energy out of their body rather than taking energy into the body. That's why they get so tired. So one of the things that a therapy like the Qi machine can do is it actually takes these chakras and makes sure that the chakras are running clockwise and sending energy into the body, which means that the person is going to have more energy. So it's really very simple solution. And for folks that are listening to this, my goodness, if you have a lot of fatigue, boy, I would sure consider an investment of $100 plus to try this out to see if they wouldn't be able to realize, well, when I really get exhausted and tired and I have no energy after 10 o'clock in the morning, well, try the Qi machine and see if you don't have an infusion of energy. Because, again, the chakras then are taking energy in rather than throwing energy out.
Yes, I found that to be the case. You know, when you get exhausted and at whatever time of day and you feel like you need to lie down, you might try going on the machine, and that will give you just enough energy to kind of not take that nap, which...
Oh, know, really? That's great, Bill. I love that. Well, you know, the other issue is kind of interesting is I've always known that if I begin to have a point in the day where I get fatigued, and that can sometimes be at 2 o'clock or 2:30, I know that if I go out and run or walk, I'll get my energy back because that's what exercise does. It's an infusion of the ATP in the mitochondria. Now, the problem is I can get to the point where, oh, I don't have enough energy to go out and exercise. I'm too tired. I'm too exhausted.
Right.
So this is a great option because, oh, no, you don't have to go out. There's no energy that you have to expend. You just, you know, put your feet in this thing and, you know, a few minutes later you're going to feel a little bit better. So it seems to me it's a great, great option for people to consider.
Right. Definitely worth a try, in my opinion.
Yeah. Oh, great recommendation. Okay, everybody. So how about going out and some of you at least giving this a spin and let us know how it goes. We'd love to get some feedback. So any other ideas or suggestions, Bill?
I think that's it for today, but everything else with me is just sort of proceeding regularly, trying to stay positive, trying keep up with anything that's new or any ideas that other people have had that are useful and keep on keeping on.
Oh, sounds great. That's why you're doing so beautifully, Bill.
Well, I mean, it takes an effort, but it's worth it.
Right. Well said. Well, thanks so much for being here. Just makes all the difference
to
me.
Thank you, Robert.
Of course. So let me check in with the chat room again and see if we've got any entries here of topics to discuss or questions to address. And I guess the answer is no. So I think we've then been able to connect with those of you who called in, which, of course, wound up being just Bill today. and addressing the question that was submitted, and also offering a preview for all of you of the work that we've been doing here at Parkinson's Recovery. So if you have any, as you're listening to the replay of this presentation, if you have any follow-up questions or issues, listen, just email me or call me. I'm here to be able to provide some kind of response to whatever might be your concerns. So what I have to offer is 20 years of investigating all of these different kinds of options, experiencing them myself. So I have really a profound sense of what might be a positive outcome if you pursue any one of these many dozens of options out there. So feel free to let me know, how can I help? That's what I'm here for. That's what the membership is all about. And by the way, thank you for your contribution every month. We have all these expenses to provide all these free resources to our global community, and that's what helps to make it possible. So that's what's happening here on the shores of the Puget Sound, where all the women are smart, all the men are handsome, and, of course, all of the children are profoundly loved. Know that by virtue of the fact that you've connected in here to this Parkinson's Recovery membership, that you're connecting in to the many different website membership options that we have available to you, that you're looking to the joke page to laugh and make dopamine naturally, you're looking at the inspirational quote, you're listening to the meditations I post every single week and every single day, you're challenging your mind with being able to solve problems that we have on our page where we give you a problem to solve. We're giving you mind work where it allows you to be able to balance the right and the left sides of the brain. We have all those 260 radio shows posted there on the member page, so you can click on a topic that you want to learn more about, and there are the shows that cover that particular topic. And we, of course, got what's up with what we discovered this last month. And so the updates from Robert page is, of course, one of the best ones there. So you got lots of different websites that you can connect into as a member and really get a positive infusion of energy so that you know that it is, in fact, happening for you, that recovery is what is a part of your life today. So by virtue of the fact you're a member, know that you are successfully journeying down the road to recovery, and pat yourself on the back for just that. Well, thanks so much for being here on our August 2020 support group gathering. And if you have any follow-ups, any emails to ask follow-up questions or topics you want us to discuss, I'll be sure to address those at our next gathering, if not before then. So thanks so much for being here, and thanks so much for supporting Parkinson's.